A lot of the items in this bill we could see as being a benefit, but they're not written clear enough for us to know how to move forward. And I was listening to this over and over, and I thought, oh my gosh, we do need so much more clarity, because narcissists and abusive people are really good at muddying the waters and exploiting loopholes. But hearing other people who would be in the position of having to put forth the accountability, or to be able to measure whether accountability is needed, like, is the PRE doing a good job? The language in these bills needs to be watertight so that the people who would be enforcing things know exactly what needs to be enforced. Welcome to the Rising Beyond podcast, where you can find hope and healing after a toxic or abusive relationship. I'm Sybil Cummin, a licensed professional counselor specializing in working with victims and survivors of domestic violence and narcissistic abuse, including the youngest witnesses. Over the past decade, I have been honored to witness victims move to survivors and then to thriving in their lives. If you feel alone in your healing process, are dealing with the onslaught of post-separation abuse, or just needing some validation that you are not crazy, you are in the right place. Everyone that knows anything about our family court system knows that we need court reform like yesterday. Well, unless it's the people who benefit from how things are right now, right? Maybe they benefit financially. Maybe they benefit because the biases in the court system support what they want, right? But everyone else knows that we need court reform. And because I have the knowledge and experience over the last 15 years of what it looks like for survivors, what it looks like for children who are experiencing all of this, being, you know, put in the middle, going back and forth, going to an unsafe home, and because I'm comfortable kind of being loud and speaking what I think and sharing my thoughts with people who make decisions, I find myself testifying for bills that I am in support of or are against, and I like to be a part of that process. So if you're new to us, welcome. I'm Sybil Cummin. You are listening to the Rising Beyond podcast, where the goal is to offer hope and strategies to help you heal from domestic violence, coercive control, and narcissistic abuse. I'm the creator of the Rising Beyond community as well, and we'd love to have you if you feel isolated and don't have support as you go through post-separation abuse with your ex-partner. At the time of this recording, I recently testified at the House Judiciary Committee in Colorado, and I was testifying in support of House Bill 24-1350. By the time you're listening to this episode, the bill will likely have changed. It will be amended, and there will likely have been future votes on this, but I don't think when you listen to this, we will know if it has passed and will become law or not. But wanted to put that out there because what I'm sharing, things are shifting and changing and being amended. And actually, as you're going to hear in kind of my response to testifying, I showed up in support of the bill. And after listening to opposition and people who wanted the bill to be amended and some of the questions from the legislators, I'm actually in support of amending this bill. So hopefully all of those things can happen. What I wanted to share is kind of my response and what I learned as I sat there forever listening to the bill before ours and then this bill, and what we can take away from it as we look at reform and we look at helping and supporting you and some of the things that it will be helpful for you to know as you delve into the family court process. So very often I feel like experts in this field are not good at listening to the opposition because they feel very set in what they believe. And guess what? To some extent, that is me too. And I learn so much more when I allow myself to listen and learn from the opposition. So whenever I go to these things, I think, what can I learn from this? Even again, if it is completely opposed to what I was thinking, right? There were a lot of big players there from the Fathers' Rights Movement that I do not agree with at all. And even their motives for being there are gross, in my opinion. So am I learning a lot from listening to them? Maybe not a lot, but it helps me understand where they are coming from, what ruffles their feathers, so that then I can help you. So if you're in a process, or if you are an OG, as we call them in the Rising Beyond community, you might be able to listen to opposition this way. If you are just out, or you are just going through the divorce process, nope, it will be too raw. It will piss you off. It will shut you down. So maybe not ideal for you. But here's what House Bill 24-1350 was all about. Again, things will have changed since I'm recording. But basically, it is put in place, or the goal is for it to be put in place, to regulate parental responsibility evaluations and evaluators. So what does that look like? We call them PREs here in Colorado. So whatever court evaluator, that's what you're thinking about. So this bill is looking at standardization. It's looking at training, increased training. So we passed Caden's Law here in Colorado in 2023. And so they already get a little bolster of what they're required to do training-wise on this. But it's to train them a little bit better or more on how they are doing the reporting. What is required for them to report? So, example, they are going to be required to touch on any child abuse, neglect, sexual abuse, and domestic violence allegations. This is any calls to child protection, things like that. They're going to have to kind of do their research on, should this bill pass. And they're going to have to touch on it in their reports. It is also looking at accountability for PREs. Ooh, and a little bit of accountability for judges, as much as we could put in a bill, because judges are regulated differently than state law. So that's a whole nother story. It is looking at how to address children being able to share their voice in a different, better, more clear way with the court system if there has been abuse, neglect, sexual abuse. It is addressing the use of the words parental alienation in the family court process and in recommendations and things like that. Oh boy, that's where the opposition came out in force. And adding a more thorough definition of coercive control. So for the most part, even people that are looking to amend were not in opposition of adding a more thorough, clear definition of coercive control to all of the bills that are previously there and what family court will use when they look at the term coercive control. So there are only like a few people who will remain unnamed, but who are very active in the Fathers' Rights community who were opposed to that. Okay, so what did I learn from listening to opposition and from those who would like to amend? So, okay, let's talk about the parental alienation thing. So in this bill, it is looking at removing that language because it is not peer-reviewed, evidence-based. And for those of you that are in the parental alienation camp, the problem is that in the research that's being done right now, they are looking at cases, and in all of the research, they are looking at cases when there has not been coercive control present or abuse present prior to separation. And what we know of is a perpetrator of abuse will use kind of that indoctrination and use the children to further abuse. And that's not parental alienation, right? It's a language issue. I have another episode on this called The Myth of Parental Alienation, where I go into this in depth, that yes, abusive parents do try to turn children against the victim parent. They do. And there's so much more to it and why it's so tricky and gross. And what was so frustrating is, right, we get 2 minutes, two, sometimes 3 minutes, depending on where you're testifying, like what place you're testifying at. How can I explain all of the things in 2 to 3 minutes? Nope, I can't. What I want to do is just have this like lunch and learn with all the legislators in Colorado to explain all of these things and why people are fighting over this term. And nobody's wanting to have this lunch and learn with me, apparently. So that's not going to happen. So there was a lot of opposition there, because that claim, and when it's used in a family court situation, when there are allegations of abuse, neglect, sexual abuse, it's used by the abuser, and research shows they have a higher likelihood then of getting increased custody or visitation time with their kids. Mind-boggling and crazy. So lots of opposition there, because people that benefit from that, they don't want us to put that language in, right? No worries. They're just going to rebrand and name it something else. So, right? The fight will continue. But moving on. So there was opposition around the level of accountability for the PREs. Imagine that. PREs don't want more accountability. The kind of opposition, or actually a lot of the people that came, were there to amend. So a lot of the PREs saw benefit to a lot of the things in the bill. So that was positive. And the PREs that were speaking, a lot of them were worried that we are lumping all PREs in together and telling the legislation that all PREs are basically the devil reincarnate, and they all suck, and they don't want the best interest for children, and they're doing a poor job, and things like that. So they were super worried that we're lumping in all PREs with the few bad eggs. Okay, there's more than a few that are out there, but that was a huge concern, right? This like level of accountability, which, I'm held pretty accountable for my job as a licensed professional counselor. PREs also have mental health credentials like this, and yet they're not held accountable. They pretty much have immunity. So I am in huge support of more accountability. But that's right, that's where it came up. But the thing that I learned the most, or that really became clear to me as I'm listening, and really switched me from in support of to needing to amend this bill, was from a lot of the professionals. So like the organization that oversees PREs, a former judge who now does, I think, PCDM work is what they were doing. But people that have been in this for a minute that, again, saw benefit from a lot of these things. But what they were looking for was clarity. And I heard it over and over and over again, that a lot of the items in this bill we could see as being a benefit, but they're not written clear enough for us to know how to move forward. And I was, you know, listening to this over and over, and I thought, oh my gosh, we do need so much more clarity, because guess what? Narcissists and abusive people are really good at muddying the waters and exploiting loopholes, right? So, right, we thought like, gosh, this bill is great. There were some areas that I still were not, you know, like gung-ho on or 100% on board with. And in general, it was really good. But hearing other people who would be in the position of having to put forth the accountability, or to be able to measure whether accountability is needed, like, is the PRE doing a good job? When and how are we allowing children to share their voice? So the language in these bills needs to be watertight. Watertight so that, again, the people who would be enforcing things know exactly what needs to be enforced. So if Joe Schmo walking down the street, it's almost like when I'm talking about parenting plans, right? Joe Schmo walking down the street could read the bill, listen to what's going on and say, oh yeah, you know what? This PRE didn't do what was necessary in their report or in their investigation. And so the language needs to be more clear. So I'm excited in the sense, maybe excited is not the word, but that Representative Froelich, who is one of the main sponsors of this bill, she's who sponsored Kaden's Law here in Colorado, she is on board to meeting with all of these people that want clearer language and is listening, because we really want a lot of the items in this bill to pass. And so I appreciate that she is willing to do what is needed with true ethical standards, right? She will stick to her integrity and not, you know, completely water down this bill, I don't think, but was hearing like these things need to be more clear. So that is really, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, 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 yes. So everything that you are doing, you're talking to your child's therapist, or you're talking to your PCDM, so you're the parent-child decision maker, or whomever, whatever professionals that are involved in your cases, or if you're testifying in court, or you're asking for something in court, is what you're asking for clear enough for anyone to be able to say, yes, it was followed. No, it was not followed. Here's the area where they exploited this. Here's where they did follow the thing. So clarity is your friend. Oh my gosh, it just really can't think of the word. Words are not happening right now. But again, let me know how important clarity is. I appreciated this experience, even though it took forever and I needed a snack. And there were 70 people registered to testify, everyone. 70 people. So this took a long time. So something else that I just wanted to mention, I've testified at several hearings like this before, and I always feel really honored to hear survivors and people that are just really passionate about this work testify. So there are child survivors that testify at these bill hearings. There are parent survivors. There are parents who don't have their children testifying. There are survivors who the family court, like none of the survivors are the family court system working for, right? That's a parent. All the survivors there are there because the family court system is so broken, right? That should say something. That should tell you something. So whatever side you're on, the court system is not really working. If you're a survivor of abuse, we'll put it that way. If you're a perpetrator of abuse, sometimes that court system works just right. So I'm just honored to hear these stories. Again, even if I don't agree, because it's their experience. And right, what can you share in 2 minutes? Think about your story. Think about, we always talk about in the Rising Man community, how we need a context bubble for like everything to make things clear, to show the patterns. How do you show the patterns in 2 minutes? It is really hard. And so for any of you wanting to testify, wanting to start doing this work, it's really good practice to find your, this sounds gross, I was about to say, your elevator speech about your abuse. That sounds horrible. I don't want to call it that, but being able to basically give the Cliff's Notes of what is the most important thing for people to understand so that they understand what's broken in our system. And that goes back to, how do we make this clear? This is going to be helpful for you if you're testifying in court. What are the top three things that that judge needs to hear to understand what's going on? And then if you have the space and time, You get to share more context. You get to share more evidence. But I want you to think about that. How could I share my story in 2 to 3 minutes in a way that people would understand my experience? Okay, should you get more than 2 minutes? Sure. That's just not how our system works. That's outside of my control. And so, again, just a really good exercise to do. I will be following up, right? Like, follow me on social media, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. I'm on Threads. Not really good on Threads, but I'm on Threads. Join my email list if you want updates on all of the things, right? Because I don't have updates for you right now. Because when I'm recording, there are no updates to share. But I will be updating everyone on what happens with this bill, what more did we learn, and what needs to happen next. So thank you all for being with me on the Rising Beyond podcast. All the ways to get in touch with me, follow me, all the things are in the show notes below. Usually it's at Rising Beyond PC for my, I don't even know what it's called, my handle. I don't know. I'm like an old lady. I don't even know what that's called. But you can follow me. There are so many different ways to connect. And I will catch you on the next episode of the Rising Beyond podcast. If you found hope and support through this podcast, there are a few things you can do to help us continue to provide meaningful and value-packed episodes. First, you can follow and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're willing, while you're there, you can give us a rating and review, which will help other survivors find us so we can offer them this help as well. And if you have the means and desire to do so, you can click on the Buy Me a Coffee link and help provide a small financial contribution to the show. This allows us to spend more time and energy finding the best guests and providing the most value to you. And if you want to work with me and the Rising Beyond community, go to www.risingbeyondpc.com for details.